Hey Josh, have you ever found a dead body?
No, I haven't. But I just, as weird recurrence that happened to me with this week was, I found out that my estranged mother, who I hadn't really seen in like 28 years, was actually just found as a dead body, in the woods, somewhere in Rhode Island, camping out. It was a really bizarre thing because then I went to go watch this week's episode and I went, oh my gosh, a recurrence. A weird one. Kind of sad, but a recurrence nonetheless.
So this sounds very like Shameless. So living in a tent in the woods.
Living in a tent in the woods. I don't know a lot of the details, other than that.
Who found the body?
I think her boyfriend kind of guy, like guy that was her boyfriend. See, the thing is, much like Shameless, she had some addiction issues. So people like that, I'm not saying everyone out there, if you got addiction issues, you're a person that lives in the woods, but one day you could be. So you probably, instead of doing that, want to just like get over that. But like, I think very much like Shameless, from what I know, because I have not seen a second of that show, but I'm very familiar with the premise. Yes, just like a bunch of shady people. So they ended up living in the woods. It got really cold that night in New England, so I guess that was it.
Aaron, have you ever found a dead body?
My dad.
The gang finds a dead guy.
North South Connection Podcast Network, Episode 6. The gang gets a podcast. Episode 6 of Sunny, the gang finds a dead guy. Guys, JT, you're good?
I'm good. You?
Josh, you're good? I'm good. I'm good. I'm good.
I'm good.
Josh, you good? We're good? Okay.
What is going? Is there like a party going on in your house?
So it's not going on in my house, but it's going on outside my house, and I don't know if it's a party. So again, this actually plays in really well. I know we don't want to at the top, talk about a lot that's off topic here, but I actually had a weird experience a couple weeks ago where I came home from a nice hike out here in the Nevada wilderness, and I went to the grocery store and I came home and I got my hands full. And then all of a sudden, my neighbors that who have never really said a word to me in 3 years come out like they're smoking cigarettes in front of their apartment, and they just come at me and they're like, hey, hey, over there. And they start asking me questions about like the guy, the super that lives downstairs and blah, blah, blah.
Was his
blah,
name Juan?
Blah. No. My, but so they start like accosting me about all this, like in my face, like to the point where I had to like back up because I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm gonna get COVID from these people, like
yes.
Like talking that close. So this woman says, she's like, yeah, so we were out here last night because they're visiting me because my husband recently passed. And then she just immediately went into the next sentence. So and then started talking about how basically the super came out because they were outside at 12:30 at night, like doing what you guys were hearing. But at 12:30 at night, right outside of his apartment. So he came outside and said something, and now they're like hated him, and they were trying to like talk shit to him and like basically get me on their side, which obviously I was not going to be because they can't even not be in my face.
Right.
So I apologize, North South Connection.
It's fine. I'm just wondering what it was. You know, I didn't need that. I was just curious.
You needed to hear my struggle. My struggle.
Your Kampf?
Yes, my Kampf.
We need to hear Josh's Kampf. Look, we're episode 6, Gang Finds a Dead Guy. We're going to just get right into this. It's 10:25 a.m. on a Friday, so we're Friday again.
Nice. That's the way to do it. Yep.
We're not going to go into a whole dissertation about yes. The Cure.
Friday, I'm in love, yes.
Yes. But of our 6 episodes, 3 of them have happened on a Friday so far.
Hmm.
Yeah, so no one gives a fuck about Saturday or Sunday yet, but we're there. Mac and Dee enter the bar, and they're having a conversation, an absolutely absurd conversation, where Dee's like, he's a professional athlete, you can't do that. So basically, Mac is going wants to go up and intimidate Tom Brady so he doesn't win anymore. And he's like, I'm not going to fight him or kill him, I just might break his arm. And Dee has to tell him the hard truth, that Tom Brady would kick his ass because he's a professional athlete. Now, what wins the day, guys? Tom Brady's athleticism or Mac's martial arts?
I'd say Mac's beaten down Catholic guilt and anger that he's harboring would explode over Tom Brady's Uggs.
This is 2005 Tom Brady we're talking?
Yep.
I don't know, guys. I mean, on one hand, he hadn't become the machine that he would later be. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he was a pretty lucky bastard at this point. So I think no matter what, he would have came through.
Yeah.
I feel like Tom Brady would have been nice to him at first, as though he was like a Make-A-Wish person.
Yes. And then Mac would stab him in the face.
Yeah. And then the fight is on.
I enjoyed it. I'm all for Tom Brady. Anything to take about in 2005 would have been fine by me.
Why are we mad at Tom Brady? Isn't he one of the best? I'm not a football guy. Isn't he one of the
best? All right, just move on. I don't have it in me.
I don't know. All right, well, look, they notice a stinky guy sleeping in one of the booths of the bar, and Mac right away is like, he shit his pants, which is like the least like graceful thing you can say about a sleeping old man. Mac then goes to get a stick to poke him, and he says, get up, old man. This isn't the American Legion.
It was a great line.
Love that line.
Which is also really sad.
Right.
It's a really sad line, too. But he won't wake. D's like, poke him harder in the ribs. So she's got no sympathy either. Mac pokes him until he collapses, and he goes, holy shit, that bitch is dead. Credits. And we come back from the credits with very happy music. Like,
oh, I love it. Like, oh, so funny.
Yeah, and they're wheeling out a body bag. How awesome is the music for wheeling out a dead guy?
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. You know, and then they're like wheeling him out on the fucking stretcher. Yeah. It's tremendous.
Yeah. Right off the bat, too, they're all blaming Charlie for what happened.
This is like at least the second episode in a row where they've had to discuss right at the beginning of the episode who was supposed to lock up last night.
Right. Yeah, what are they doing? And really, is that part of his job as janitor to do that?
Yeah, he's supposed to clean up after and then close up.
That's why he has to clean up after the dead body. It's punishment for...
Yeah, I don't even mind that like they're having the same argument about who's to blame.
Right.
Like it was the same argument last episode also. Like, who are we going to blame for this? But what they're really upset is all the piss and shit everywhere and all the dead germs. I don't know what dead germs are, but they're there. And they're also all worried about the bottom line, about it hurting the bar and the sales. So Charlie's got a solution. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'll go get the gasoline. And they shut it down. He's mad that they never let him burn anything. And then they discuss if they should open. Should we open the bar? Dennis suggests that the Board of Health will not let them do that. Has the Board of Health ever been in this establishment?
Well, by the way, Dennis talked, I guess so. He's had some experience, clearly.
But why have they not shut it down?
Well, there's ever been death germs there before.
I suppose. Mac is all about not telling anyone. He just doesn't want to tell anybody. And no one wants to clean it, so they all turn to Charlie. And we get a nice hard cut to Charlie in a garbage bag with the dishwashing gloves on. And he's like, I can't believe you're making me do this. And Dennis says, I can't believe you left a dead guy in the bar overnight, so we're even. Josh, are they even?
I don't know, because I just don't know. Is this just this? Are we talking even for this here? Is there like a long-term even that I'm not seeing, you know, because that could be happening too. We're kind of just dropping in on their Fridays. I don't know what's happening on Thursday before that.
Well, look, the last episode, Dennis shot Charlie in the head.
Mm.
So what would Charlie have had to do to tip the scales the other way?
I think this is still even worse. Like, him cleaning is worse than getting shot in the head, cleaning up the dead body.
Yeah.
They don't know why he's dressed like that, but Charlie gets mad and doesn't want them to question his methods. And he just starts hosing down the booth, like blasting it with water. And Dennis is concerned about the decomposed pieces being spread around the bar. Clearly has no idea how a body works or how it's decomposing.
You gotta say 6 feet away, right?
Yeah, right?
Well, guys, that's why you close the toilet lid before you flush, though. It's the same concept that Dennis is going with.
What I understand about that is if something is in your nostrils, if the smell is there, it's already there.
No.
You're just saying that because you're scared. You're not saying that for any factual reason.
Now I know. You can never avoid it. It's up there everywhere. Right here. Dennis has good reason. It's everywhere now.
Yeah. You know? And Charlie is not at all happy with Dennis's science talk. Now, in this whole situation so far, has there been a single thing said that would stand up to any scientific scrutiny?
No.
You don't think the dead germs are a thing?
No.
The decomposing body?
No. Well, maybe these days. Like, that could be something I'd see on Facebook. Death germs causing issues, but...
The death germs are coming from the Illuminati is a very powerful force.
I do like Charlie saying it's probably urine and maybe some feces.
I love how he gets scientific scientific terms. A woman now comes in the bar, a very attractive woman. Mm. These, like, they're closed. But because she's hot, Mac, like, dives in front and says he wants to help her. Can I help you? She wants to talk to the owner, and Dennis and Mac just declare themselves the owners and are all over her. Her name is Rebecca Keene. And her grandfather died here last night. They offer condolences to her. And from the back of the room, Charlie says, I'm sorry for your loss.
But he said that weird, right? It wasn't
yeah.
me. Like I was like, is he trying to be an asshole or?
Yeah, he's mad that he had to clean him up. Yeah, he's pissed probably that he died there.
Yeah, strike one, Charlie.
How did she know he died there, though? Because they didn't call the Department of Health. Like, what do they do with the... I guess they did end up calling the... That's right, they did, because he got wheeled out, yeah. So, okay.
Now, do you think the garbage bag and dishwashing gloves helped or hindered Charlie's sympathy?
The sympathy he received or the sympathy he gave?
Well, he gave... Well, what she felt about it. Like, if you come in and your grandfather died and there's a guy in a garbage bag hosing down a booth.
Yeah, it depends how rational of a person she is. If she can rationally understand,
sense.
This is a business, they have to clean up.
Right.
You know? It's like they murdered him, you know, and they're just happily cleaning up.
It is, but they don't know that he hasn't been murdered.
Yeah, well, it seems like it was a natural cause types of thing. You know, she wasn't.
Right. Yeah. Well, anyway, she was called because he didn't have any other family. Mm. And she doesn't know anything about her grandfather. And Mac starts to talk about how he was a great man, a warm and gentle soul. And she asks Mac if he knew him, and Mac kind of hedges, which is his first mistake of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm not sure I knew him all that well. And Dennis right away is like, I knew him pretty well. and he talks about how they got close at the end. And Mac, like, already is knowing he's behind in this race. He tries to recover, but Dennis shuts him down by saying, you didn't know him as well as I did. And Dennis then offers to tell her stories about her grandfather that she would not believe. And Mac then replies, I'll make myself available as well. She seems flattered but weirded out, and she leaves.
Right.
Like, this competition is going to be a blowout, right?
Oh, not even close. Mac is completely unarmed to hang with Dedus in a battle of wits like this.
Yeah,
like this, the moment he does the eyelids that get like heavy and like thin, you're like, Dennis is in. He's a snake now. He's like, yeah, become a snake, and he is going to get his prey no matter what.
And this is our first introduction to this Dennis, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
the rise of Dennis.
Yeah.
He was kind of shitty at the abortion thing, but it wasn't to this like level of like obsession and like. Like, I don't know how much of this is him wanting to get this girl and how much of it is him wanting to fucking prove Mac wrong.
Well, they're definitely both, right? It's got to be, I don't know, you're right, which one is more? Like, I would feel it'd be even, because no matter what, he's always trying to take advantage of a situation with an attractive woman in any way that he can. Yeah. And at the same time, he doesn't want – it's not just winning it from Mac. It's putting Mac back in his place of, yeah, like, you can't do this. This is me.
Yeah, they have that weird relationship, and that's going to get explored as we go on with the series. Mac and Dennis begin to argue about who the girl belongs to, which is an interesting way of putting it. Dee is trying to be the voice of reason and saying we should think about the fact that a man died here and his family abandoned him. And both of them are like, why do we want to think about that? It's really depressing.
Right.
But this makes Dee think of Pop Pop. And Dennis is like, Pop Pop is an asshole. Charlie then.
I like how he says Sweet Dee there, though. He's like, Pop Pop's, yeah, an asshole, Sweet Dee.
Yeah. He's kind to her, but yes, not to Pop Pop. Charlie then talks about how people throw their parents away all the time. It's a sad throwaway culture that we live in, as he hoses the booth down, like at full, yes, force. Now, have either of you ever abandoned an old loved one or not given them the attention that they deserve?
No. I will say there is always that thought, like, did I do enough when they were around? You know, like, I do have that. Like, I had all four of my grandparents for a while, and it always felt like, you know, looking back, I'm like, oh, did I go enough? Did I call enough? But it wasn't like a neglect. It was just kind of that's your life when you're in your 20s, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't think I've abandoned any loved ones that weren't assholes.
Yes,
that makes sense. So like I feel like it's been okay. Hello,
Aaron. Did we lose you?
I'm here. I was just on mute because I was coughing. I don't want anybody to hear me cough.
Just keep going. Just keep going. Yeah, we're not even stopping. This. Not even stopping.
This is real. This is real life, guys. You know, can I tell you something? There's parts of the show that, like, it's a show, right? But sometimes things happen that are just too real.
This is a shoot.
This is a shoot, brother. And this is one of them. We cut to Charlie's apartment. Dee shows up. She needs a favor. She wants Charlie to go to the nursing home with her because she doesn't want to go by herself because she has a problem with old people. And she particularly has a problem with their translucent hands. Are translucent hands the biggest problem with old people?
It's up there, honestly, because you see the hands. They're right in front of you. There's no way around them.
They want to touch you too, right?
Mm.
It's also the smell.
Yeah.
You're going to a nursing home. I mean, you know what you're going to be hit with. It's going to be ammonia. And you're like, is the ammonia to clean or is the ammonia what they're trying to clean?
Correct.
What's worse, the translucent hands, the smell, or old people's selfishness?
I think they've earned the selfishness.
You think? Why? Because they lived?
Yeah, I think they've probably dealt with a lot of shit in their life. And I think you'll feel the same way when you're 80 or 90. That, you know what? I dealt with enough crap for 80 years. I'm done dealing with crap.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with me?
With you? When you're 80, you're going to say, I'm fucking done. I've dealt with enough bullshit, so I'll do what I want to do for me. I only got a few years left.
I've dealt with enough bullshit now. Like, I still have to be nice to people.
Nah, you don't have to be. But the older you get, the least you get, less you're going to care because you're going to be dead soon.
And also, when you get older, you get a pass. Nobody's going to give you a pass now.
And also, when you're older, there's no one really older than you that's going to give you any shit. Like, if you did it now, right, you kind of get your elder still looking down on you for being a prick. But when you're 85, you're the elder.
Wow, well, we got Jesus. Yeah, Jesus looking down.
No, he's only 33.
I guess. Well, look, Charlie will go to the nursing home with Dee if she lets him use her car anytime he wants. She refuses. He goes every now and then. Nope. He goes one time. Okay. Then he wants her to take him to lunch twice a week for a year. Like, he's really aiming high with this negotiation. She settles on just this once today.
Right.
Who won this negotiation?
I still say Charlie. I think the car and the lunch is worth just going to visit Pop-Pop once.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever going to get either one of those things without doing something.
And to be honest, those are not things that she should just offer those things. Maybe right. Not the car, but at least the lunch.
Yes. Yes.
Right. It just kind of dawned on me. Charlie drives.
He seems like somebody who got his license and then just never did anything, never got a car or anything. So I'm assuming he can drive, but he just doesn't drive.
I'm going to mentally try to track this later on. Like, if we see any other times where Charlie even references driving a car.
Do you think it's possible that he is unaware that you need a license to drive a car?
Possibly, oh,
yes.
Possible.
Very.
We cut back to the bar, and Mac and Dennis are in the thralls of an argument. Mac is saying, "I can get hot chicks, dude." And they're playing darts. Dennis is talking about how they'll always win. They argue about who's sharper, which I think is a funny word for them to use. Rebecca shows up, and Mac immediately starts saying about how hard all of this is for him, like the death of their grandfather. And Dennis right away is like, "I try not to think about me, though. How are you?" What is wrong with Mac?
Everything. Because he's naturally selfish anyway, so he wouldn't even think to ask. And he's overcompensating trying to compete with Dennis. So just a loss. Just, he's just not good at this at all.
No. What is he good at?
Nothing.
Karate.
Selfishness.
I don't think he's good at karate, Josh.
He's better than me.
I don't know about that. I don't think we have a definitive proof of that. Charlie and Dennis are now at the nursing home. Dee is like, "Oh, look at that one." Like, she's really freaked out by the old people. They show up to Pop-Pop's room. He's just attached to a bunch of machines. Pop-Pop mistakes Charlie for Dennis, because I guess Charlie's dressed weird here, right? She's dressed like a bit too much like Dennis, I think.
Right. And Pop-Pop's got out of it. Who knows the last time he saw Dennis, you know?
Well, Pop-Pop seems out of it now until later in the episode where he's like, he's so not out of it.
Well, he's about to get really coherent. Dee just runs away, and Pop-Pop is super happy to see Dennis. He also remarks that Dennis is shorter than he thought he'd end up.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, so that's another hint to how long it's been since he's seen him.
Well, and go ahead.
No, go on.
I'll say Charlie's answer. Were you going to say that?
Oh, I don't remember what he said.
It was a funny line. So Papa goes, "I thought you'd be taller." Charlie goes, "I'm still growing." which was funny.
That's right. Papa offers some candy, and when Charlie refuses, he goes, "Eat the damn candy." And then Pop-Pop starts, and "These people have stolen everything from me." And before Charlie can answer, he goes, "What do you expect from the Jews?" Like, he extends it so long. Was this old man's blatant racism a surprise to either of you?
Yeah, it caught me off guard, even though I've seen it before. And then they do it well here, because you still kind of think, well, is he just kind of like thinking he's in 1940? You know what I mean? Like we don't know yet what he is that's coming. But at this point, they leave just enough ambiguity. Like, is this going to get worse, or is he just kind of like, you know, has Alzheimer's and doesn't know where he is?
Josh, were you could you believe how long he extended that vowel for? And is that a sign of hatred, or?
I think anytime you blame the Jews for stealing all your stuff, at that point it doesn't matter how long you elongate the term, you pretty much, there's a sign of hatred the moment you use that term, you know.
What if the Jews have stolen your things?
I liked, as weird as it sounds, like, the pronunciation of it was hilarious to me. Because it was like, I was just, the way I was hearing it was like there was so many oohs. It was like if you spelled the word shoes with two O's and a Z. Like, that's how I was picturing how this was said.
Or like Secret of the Ooze, Ninja Turtles.
Right. So it was just like, Yeah, this guy, I love where they're going with this here. And I see, I also hate it.
Well, and it's funny because, like, it doesn't have to go, like, right now, it could just be, like, a guy who just says things that, like, everybody said back in that era.
Yep.
Right.
And I think that's kind of part of the genius of how they play this.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than Colin, I would say.
Yeah, there's a subtlety to this. Well, subtlety, sort of. Dee is washing herself. It was washing everything about her in the bathroom, screaming at an elderly woman. I didn't particularly like this scene. I thought it was a bit strange.
Yeah. It's like a little bit much. Like they make it like she's like just completely like mentally fucked up, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm sure she is, but I don't buy it about old people. Like I buy it. She's like probably like got in terrible self-esteem.
Oh, right. It just felt a little over the top. Like it's almost like every wrestler fights Jake the Snake being afraid of snakes. Like it felt like that, you know, it's like a little too much.
And not just afraid of snakes, like the most frightening thing ever. Right. Pop Pop is back with Charlie. Pop Pop needs help. And Charlie's like, oh, I don't even know what to unplug. Which again is a great assumption. And Pop Pop suggests that Dennis's bastard father never told him that he was a war hero. He's a war hero. He wants to be buried in his uniform. And then he says, I don't trust any of these kikes in here. Mm. Now, the reason I say the slur is because I have to point out how much joy he takes in saying the slur, which I think like it's how insanely racist he is that I think adds the humor to it. Because I think if he was casually racist, for me, I'd be a lot more uncomfortable. It's the way he's just so blatantly brazen.
Like, he knows he's being a piece of shit. It's not just like this is what they called him back then, and I'm calling it now. Like he's deliberately bashing these people.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite words in the English language?
Moist. No. I don't know.
Did you say moist?
It's too late for this.
Ointment. That's good. Mine is fiasco. Our prime minister, in one of his anti-COVID speeches, asked people to stop speaking moistly.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah. So Pop Pop sends Charlie to the Roxborough storage facility to get a box of his possessions. Cut to the bar. Mac, Rebecca, and Dennis are in a booth, and we need to talk about the positions. Mac is sitting on one side, and Dennis is with Rebecca on the other, with his arm like above her, around her. And she needs some help putting together a memorial service. Mac again decides to play this route when he goes, "That's going to be hard to do." Dennis jumps in and saying, "No, that'll be fine. I knew a lot of his friends and he was a good guy." And she's so pleased with Dennis, she touches his arm. Mac offers her another drink, but Dennis replies, "We're fine." And I think the choice of "we're" here is really smart because it makes remember when it puts them together, but it makes Mac sound like the waiter. Mac should just give up here, right?
Mm-hmm. He's still hanging on.
It's finished. It's like it's the fifth inning and they're up like 60 to nothing. Cut to Charlie's apartment. To Dee's apartment. Charlie knocks on Dee's door. He needs the car. He wants his promise fulfilled because he's going back to see Pop Pop. Dee's like, "You can't go see him without me. I'm the one who's supposed to feel better about myself." Charlie says it's going to be just him and Pop Pop. This must be really strange for Dee, right, Josh?
Oh, I would imagine so. Why would Charlie need to go see Pop Pop? You know, like I would, and to give up the car too. It just seems like I'm going to take your car and I'm going to go see Pop Pop by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would admit, I feel like Dee lets him go. And I don't think normally that would happen here. I don't think he'd be like, "Oh, okay. Everything you just said, I'm going to just give you the keys. Bye." I'd be like, "What the fuck are you doing with my Pop Pop?"
So like whenever I'm directing a theater show, like if I was directing the actor playing Dee here, I would ask them, "What do you think he's actually going to do?" Because that would actually elicit a different reaction. JT, what do you think that Dee thinks that Charlie's going to do with Pop Pop?
Rob him or use him in some kind of stupid scheme.
Fair enough. Dennis and Mac go down now. They're at a homeless shelter trying to recruit friends for the grandfather who died. Mac's tie is way too short and way too fat here.
It's not even that. He's wearing it over a polo shirt.
Yeah.
It's not a button down. It's a polo shirt. Right. And he's got the tie on over it. At first, I thought it was just a short sleeve button down, but then it's clearly a polo. It's an awful outfit.
Yeah. Yeah. He does not know how to dress formally at all.
No.
Now we're just kind of bouncing back a few things. Charlie is at the storage facility. He opens a box and his eyes pop out of his head with what he sees. Mm-hmm. Cut back. Dennis is now bringing in the bunch of homeless people to the memorial for the grandfather. And these guys go buck wild at a food table. How would you describe what these bums did to the spread?
Bum rushed.
Did they do that because someone dissed the man?
Don't diss your man. You might hurt. I forget the line. I wasn't ready. I didn't have the Nation of Domination lyrics on hand. I'm sorry.
You weren't ready for the Nation of Domination reference in the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia podcast? Mm. Sorry, Josh. Go on.
No, well, I was just going to say, I think they bad acted all over the spread because these guys were, especially the guy with the dreadlocks. Like, I'm like, what planet is this guy thinking? Like, how?
He's like, they're like, you can say he's
act
on a,
real big. Just act big. Give me big.
You can say he's on a dreadlock holiday.
Oh, that's funny. I just heard that song yesterday. Also, when the other guy walked up, the one they offered $20 to, I thought he was not wearing pants.
Oh,
I thought that jacket or shirt that he had was super long, and I'm like, oh, he's not wearing any pants. And then when I rewatched it, I was like, nope, he's just wearing skinny pants.
Do you think that the reason why you think they're overacting is because of your privilege? You've never had to starve on the streets, or maybe you have. I don't know.
maybe it is a little bit of that. Also, maybe it's because I feel like I've seen homeless people, and they're just don't act like the type of actors where it would be like, okay, now I need you to act crazy in the background, but not make any noise. Because I feel like that's what was happening here. Like, okay, we need you to look like you're acting big, but no noise.
So now we're going to go into Mac, Dennis, like really putting the finishing touches on Mac here. Rebecca asks them to tell a story about her grandfather. And Dennis says, well, I do have something prepared. And then he turns to Mac and goes, do you have something prepared? And then remembers that. Then he goes, oh, yeah, I remember. Mac is a terrible public speaker. He gets flustered and clams up. He gets a stutter, like just burying this guy. And before Mac can answer, his phone goes off, which Dennis and Rebecca both look at him like he's a fucking douche because his phone is ringing at the funeral. Dennis uses it to get rid of Mac, like, go answer it. Get away from here. It must be important.
Yeah, if you lift the ringer on, it must be real important.
Yeah. Charlie is on the phone. He needs Mac to come over right away. And when he tells Dennis this, Dennis is like, oh, you got to leave? That's really a shame. But he says it while looking in Mac's eyes, which I think is such a beautiful touch. And then Mac's like, can I borrow your car? And Dennis is like, no, you've been drinking. Again, he buries him as a drunk driver, just buries him. What's the level of cruelty from Dennis here?
It is a beating. It is a knockout win. Just just an evisceration of Mac.
Well,
just
now he's
no
just
shot.
Toying with him.
Yes.
He's just like, okay, every line you say.
And then as soon as Mac goes to, he's like, he goes on about how he has a drinking problem. Like, he doesn't end when Mac leaves.
Yes.
Continues just digging him up. We cut to Mac showing up at Charlie's, and Charlie is just, when he knocks on the door, Charlie answers. He's in a fucking full Nazi uniform, leaning on the wall, eating a banana. Mac is just, holy shit. Before this, had either of you ever imagined an SS officer eating a giant banana?
Depends if it's like a 1950s slapstick movie where they're mocking them, you know, stooging around.
I just think the banana is such a brilliant prop here because it takes away all the seriousness of the uniform.
Yes. Well, there's money in the banana stand.
Always money in the banana stand. That's our next project. D is now outside waiting for the bus to go see Pop Pop. Mac and Charlie, they're digging through this box. And I think it's Charlie that says, this guy must have been King Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mac is like, how is this possible? And Charlie's like, oh, it's possible. They came on boats. They're here. Are they still there or are they all gone now?
They're here. In force.
Yeah, to flip a trope, they're like cockroaches, you know? You can't get rid of them.
How would you get rid of them? Would you genocide them? Wouldn't that be the ultimate irony to just genocide them out?
Like, I feel like that's the ultimate philosophical question is like, well, if you can't re-educate Nazis, which is something they would do, for one, you would have to do to them what like they tried to do in to, you know, negatively. And if that doesn't work, well, I guess you just gotta, you know.
Kill them? Say it.
No, you could put them in a situation where, you know, you don't kill them, but like maybe they're in a giant field with a bunch of rabid bears or something. And if they escape, they escape. Whatever.
Well, who are we classifying as Nazis? People that just have the beliefs or people that carry through on the actions?
Both.
Really? You just kill the people that have the beliefs that don't do any of the actions?
Yeah, like the Harris twins? Yes.
Well, I'd kill them for different reasons. I've had to watch enough of their shit.
Yeah, no, it's the one of the toughest quandaries, right? It's like trying to would you kill baby Hitler, you know, kind of deal of, you know, are you justified in doing that considering what Nazis are capable of and correct. If their ideology was to take full hold?
Or do you kidnap him and raise him to be good?
That's,
well, that's
right.
The whole nature versus nurture debate right there.
Mm-hmm.
Kidnap all the Nazi
It's
babies.
Like a pit bull, you know?
Like the singer pit bull?
Globalization, yes.
Oh, wait. I feel like we're just saying words now. All right. They find an old picture of Pop in the uniform. And I love that it's just Glenn Howerton in a Nazi uniform. And they made the picture look black and white.
Fireball.
Yeah. Mac, now they're trying to figure out what to do with all this Nazi stuff, and Mac suggests they sell the stuff on eBay, but, yes. But they stop because they're worried that might be immoral. And
they should be more worried that people would be wondering where they got it from and come after them. That's what they should be worried about.
Yeah, but they're not thinking that far ahead, as we're going to see, because they decide they're going to sell it to a museum. We're back at the funeral home, and Dennis is eulogizing the grandfather. This is the first time you hear the name. Dennis says the name Lionel Keane. Which is no doubt the first time those words have ever left Dennis' mouth.
Yeah.
Like, the memorial, too, is really sad. It's like one big picture and then four smaller ones. Like, that's all they could throw together. Dennis says he was a curmudgeon, but he had the heart of a lion. And then what I love this touch. He's got, like, these cue cards in his hand. And then he gestures that he's going to go on with the cue cards, but then says fuck it and puts his cue cards away as though he's going to speak from the heart. Like, there was never anything written on those cue cards. It's like Sid at the WrestleMania 8 press conference. There's nothing written on those things. Bogus. This funeral is bogus. He's going to tell a story about him. And he launches into this story about Lionel Keane. He was making him dinner. And the two of them got to talking about the spirit of giving.
He's amazing doing this whole eulogy.
Is so fucking good. And then Dennis then suggested they put the spirit into action and they go down to a shelter and they fed every poor, miserable, precious soul. I love that he said miserable in there. And then they also wash the feet of anyone and everyone in the spirit of Christ. It calls him Lionel the Lion. This is a lot of work to sleep with this chick, right? At which point would either of you have given up?
She's pretty hot. And I think the situation's setting up for a good time. So, no, I think it's worth the work. Especially a guy like Dennis, he's got nothing else going on. If you had a busy, full life, yes, maybe not. But given his what he has going on in his life, and you know, this is a likely score. I think it's worth the effort. And I think this shit comes easy to him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Josh, how good is the acting here from Glenn Howerton?
Well, I really, as I kind of stated before, I think this really is, when I'm watching this one here, like this episode, I'm like, well, this is Glenn Howerton as Dennis that I would come to love, you know, like everything that happens after is this Dennis, you know, and it feels like everything feels purposeful, you know, like you said, put the cue cards away. It's like beautiful touch. Like, I'm glad they did that. And I think that he's full on sleazy Dennis, but like comes across as so nice. Like, he really reads as nice, you know, when you're watching him, but we as the viewer are like, ooh.
Like, if you hadn't watched at all the lead up to this, if you just tuned in to this show and saw this eulogy, what would you think? Like, would either of you think this is just like a regular eulogy?
No, it's clearly smarmy.
Yeah.
And made up. Clearly made up.
He's so fucking good.
Lionel the Lion.
Lionel the Lion. What a great touch. We got to this. We got to talking about the spirit of giving. Like, we now cut to a museum. And I love whenever anybody in this world has to interact with like a real person from outside of their little circle. Yeah. Because there's always, it's always such a weird clash of everything.
Yeah.
They sit down with this museum employee, and Mac right away is like, we're going to make your day, which becomes important later, because they have an important part of human history. And they bring out, they pop up the Nazi code as though it's like a game show and it's the prize. The guy at the museum is like, what the hell is that? And Charlie launches right into how good the detail of the code is, like in the stitching. It's such an interesting point. And then the guy's like, well, how did you get this? And Max says like the most incriminating thing. He goes, let's just say we found it. Let's just say it's found its way to us and leave it at that, shall we? And the museum guy's like, I find this offensive for so many reasons. And they're flabbergasted. And then he adds, to think that you thought it would make my day assumes that I would like to profit from the murder of millions of innocent people. Mac then asks, how much are you going to give us for it? He says, nothing. I plan on calling the police the minute you guys leave my office. Is the museum guy here kind of being a jerk?
No. I don't blame him, because two random guys that clearly are not the smoothest have shown up with a bucket full of Nazi shit trying to make a buck. I don't think it's the worst idea to send him out.
I feel like he's the perfect straight man when it comes to you know, like the way that straight men are written in, because he 100% does not everything. He calls them on everything they're doing as unusual, which is what the straight man's supposed to do. Ah, I'm in the real world and you're being unusual, and highlight that. And it's like, we're so often in these It's Always Sunny episodes, we're like in their world and nothing seems unusual. And then we get this guy and it's like, oh, good. If not, I was going to be really uncomfortable with this Nazi shit. You know, if this guy wasn't here to be like, you guys are monsters.
Does the Nazi shit make you uncomfortable?
Well, when we get to the end, I'll mention it. Yeah.
Okay. So now Dee is back at the old folks home. I guess she's got a crisis of conscience. She's going in to see Pop-Pop. And Pop-Pop doesn't even want to see her. He's just like, I need to see Dennis. She brought books to read, and he's like, okay, fine. Like, he's just whatever. Short of your children, could anybody come in and read to you and that be like interesting in any way?
Even them.
Pop-Pop wants her to sit closer so he can get a good look at her. He touches her face with his wrinkled, translucent hands. He puts his hands in her face. He puts his hands on her teeth, which I thought was like fucking weird. She freaks out. We cut to Charlie and Mac. They're all about to burn the Nazi stuff, which is a nice tie-in. Charlie's like, it's always fun to burn things, which calls back to the beginning of the episode.
Yep,
right.
And Mac, in a moment of like kindness, is like, let's not tell Dennis in case it screws with his head.
Right.
Which Dennis has been hurting him the whole episode, and he says this. Also, now Mac's tie is way too long. Like, it's the complete opposite of the tie he had before. Dennis comes by, wants to know what they're burning. But before they can answer, Dennis, like, you want to know what happened with that girl? Like, really rubbing it in with Mac. We went back to her house, and we made sweet, passionate love. He's really rubbing it into Mac, and Mac's like, you must be very proud of yourself. Your grandfather's a Nazi. And they give him the picture. And this is where I think the episode should end.
Right.
But then we get the cut of like this weird kind of moving camera shot with cartoon music playing, and Charlie sitting, because they said they threw away all the Nazi stuff, and Charlie's sitting watching cartoons in the Nazi hat.
Right.
I think it's such a weak close to this episode.
Yeah, I think they're just trying to show that he kept the hat, obviously. A couple things, though. Before, in the hospital, Dee throws up when he's touching her, and that's kind of the payoff to her being disgusted by old people. I was also a little bit worried. I guess the fact that they were so close to the end of the episode, they weren't going to bring something else up. But, like, I didn't want them to go, like, he was, like, a molester or something, too. Like, it felt like a bit much. It almost felt like he was, like, creeping on her. But I think he was just like trying to see his granddaughter, I guess.
Well, no. See, that's the thing where I read it differently.
You thought he was being creepy?
No, I thought he was trying to get her out of the room because he didn't want to be with her. He just wanted Charlie as Dennis back. So he made a comment once she ran off that basically like was like, yeah, like that he wanted her to run off. So at the first time I didn't get that, but the second time I just watched it, I was like, he's this guy who like was we were originally led to believe was like not really with it. It's like it seems like
so he's
all
trying
of a
to gross her out
like
on purpose.
Really with it. Yeah. Okay. He's trying to gross her out to send her out of the room.
I just didn't want it to be like he was like hitting on her, which I just didn't want it to
thankfully,
go there. Yeah.
Oh, that did not happen.
Yeah, I'm more in the Josh camp here. I thought that he was like getting rid of her.
Yeah, I didn't think he was hitting on her. I just didn't want it to go there. Like when he started to do it, I was worried that he was gonna say she was like hot or something weird, you know? Like I just didn't feel like it needed to go there, so I'm glad.
Pop up
gets a treat. How do you guys feel they dealt with the topic of how we treat the elderly?
That was barely what they touched upon, but
yeah, honestly, it ended up being more about taking advantage of the granddaughter more than anything.
Yeah, I struggled with what like the issue was in this one because I don't think if there was one.
Right. This almost felt the most sitcom-y so far, where like they're just in a position dealing with a scenario versus there being like a moral to the story.
Right. Elaine is doing her thing.
Yes.
They're doing their thing. Charlie's the Kramer right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it felt like more to me. And plus, the old person was an asshole, so why would they take care of him?
Right, and it was like the only old person we dealt with, other than knowing that Lionel died. That was
right.
it.
Right.
But both were somewhat thrown away.
Mm.
Our throwaway culture.
Right.
The last scene, okay, that's where I found it to be an issue. Because before it's like, okay, so Charlie shows up and he's got the Nazi thing to kind of freak out Mac, okay? But then they both agree, like, well, that guy sucks. We're not going to give it to him so he can be buried in. We're going to try to at least profit off of that guy being sucky. But then with Charlie keeping it and just wearing it in his house, like, my first thought was, like, why? Because that's weird, right? But was it weird then? Like, had Jesse James, that motorcycle guy, had he had those pictures of him dressed as a Nazi yet? Like, had we as a society been like, oh, Nazis are totally inappropriate all the time?
I don't know. Around this time, I had a friend that he was really into World War II, and he collected like Nazi figures. Because, and his explanation was like, I really like the uniforms. Mm. And I really like the designs and like, but there was nothing like he wasn't the type to promote Nazism or like there was a genuine interest in collecting these things.
Yeah, no, I get the collector mindset, but it's like there are some things that should just, again, they should be in a museum where we have now designated all of our racist stuff can go. We don't have to burn it. We can throw it in a museum. All the racist things.
Mm.
I don't know. It felt weird. The end, that little end cap to me, all, you know, before they were toying with the Nazi stuff kind of in a shocking way. But then in the end, I went, it feels like if they just burnt it all, it would have been like, it would have felt like, okay. But by him keeping it and just chilling with it, it didn't feel okay. Like they had actually been offensive in the end.
Yeah, I think for me it has to do with how they portrayed the actual Nazi in the show.
Right.
Like he got he clearly had a shitty end of his life, right? So like it's not like they were glorifying that person or which is why like I don't know. Like I don't know. I, for me the end cap it bothers me more on a structural level of the show than anything else. Like I don't know why he's keeping it.
That was like going up to Jimmy Doyle. Was that his name? Like, it felt like that.
Right,
like, we're just going to throw him in there and it's just going to be, that's the end. Yeah.
Yeah. And they had, but you know what is funny is that this one, more than any of the other ones, they had a good punch to end on when they were like, your grandfather's a Nazi. Give him the picture.
Right.
That's good.
Yep.
Choke it in there.
It would have been sharper if they just had Charlie, like, four episodes from now, he opens his closet and the hat's in there. You know, like, that feels right. Like it would have been, like, a better way to do it.
But that's that experience.
Yeah, that's like, not there on, yet.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. All right, what are the crimes that were committed in this one?
Nazi, killing Jews, right? And also Max polo shirt and tie combo was a major fashion crime.
Would the nursing home be responsible for harboring the Nazi war criminal?
They don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that would be a crime. But I wonder what the legality of selling it is. Like, how does that work?
Well, because it's not illegal to own it, is it?
No, right. I think the guy's issue is he assumed they stole it.
Right.
That's the read I got. Not that
which
they, yes.
they right. Which they did.
It's not because he's kind of like, where did you get this? Like, so I think right. he felt more like it was hot merchandise versus like these guys should not be owning Nazi stuff. If they owned it outright, then that's their right. But that's why you need a gun.
They could have forced that sale with a gun. Okay, who's the least virtuous in the episode is?
Pop, and Dennis, though. I had Dennis there, too, because, you know, and not because of the way he treated Mac. Like, that's just gamesmanship. The way he preyed on poor Rebecca was awful. But Pop definitely takes the cake. He's probably the worst person. I think he's the worst person we've seen so far in the show, by far.
Yeah, and he might be the worst person ever in the show.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a hard like hurdle to for anyone else to climb.
Right. It's like the ranking Raw as Owen is the greatest Raw moment. It's like, well, it almost shouldn't even count because it's never gonna get knocked off. But it's kind of its own thing. Like, all right, he's a Nazi. Like, nothing's ever gonna top that. So,
all right. Well, look, let's do a harder one. Who's the most virtuous?
I had Dee and Rebecca.
Right.
I didn't count Rebecca because
I mean she did nothing wrong the whole episode.
She's just there, so I put D because I mean she's trying to get over her fear, right. Technically, to do good.
Yeah. So we have Dennis at the bottom, D at the top. So would it be like Dennis, Mac, Charlie, D?
Yeah, I think so. I'm torn on Charlie because he was just trying to help Pop out. And he just kind of got enamored with the thing. Yeah, I think Mac might be worse because he was trying to pry on Rebecca. I think Charlie's heart was in the right place for most of the episode.
Was it Mac's idea to sell the Nazi regalia too?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, yes, because he said on eBay, and then Charlie was like, no, it's either illegal or at least immoral.
Right.
And then Mac's the one, I believe, that came up with the museum.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's actually not a horrible idea, like if they were going to give it to the museum.
Correct.
Yeah. Right.
I think Mac's treatment of Rebecca makes him the worst, second worst.
Right.
So confident too when they walk into that guy, like, which is what they every time they walk out of their world into someone else's world, it's that same level of confidence. Like, wait till you hear this.
Well, it's such a funny way to put it. We're here to make your day and they have a box full of Nazi stuff. Like, what if the guy was Jewish? Like,
not even a consideration.
Right. Well, who is the most abused?
Rebecca and the Jews.
Yeah,
I put Mac because of the fucking beatdown he took from Dennis.
It was warranted, though.
I think ultimately he got more abused than Rebecca. Alliances. I got Mac and Dennis trying to bang Rebecca. D and Charlie go to the old folks' home. Mac and Charlie trying to sell the Nazi stuff.
And Charlie and Pop Pop.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Trying to get the war hero buried in his uniform. Like, would they even bury him in that uniform?
No, definitely not.
Okay, what was the cringiest moment?
I mean, anything Pop said pretty much, or did. Anything. Him. Just him.
Fuck. I mean, what does it say about me that I have D being sick at the old folks' home was the cringiest moment?
Yeah.
Biggest laugh?
I had a couple. I thought you'd be taller, Pop, and Charlie says I'm still growing. And then Max saying, I don't want to be rude. And Dennis saying, well, the ringer is going off during a funeral, so it must be pretty important. And then also at the end was a good line, too. When they're burning the Nazi uniform, Max says, this seems like a big waste of a Nazi uniform.
That's true. I probably had that whole little interaction. The sequence at the funeral home that led to Mac leaving. Like, That was the funniest part because it was Dennis not letting up. It was like one thing after another, you know, and Mac's reaction was that beautiful, like Mac is like sheepish reaction, you know, where he like knows he's losing, but he's just like accepting it. So that was hilarious.
Yeah, I got all that, and I really like Max saying, I'll make myself available as well. Yeah, it's good. So impersonal. Like, okay, got any seeds planted?
Dennis being a manipulator.
Yeah.
Pop says bastard father, and I know who that is.
Right, right. I also have D being quick to get ill.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one.
Any tropes?
Dennis is burying Mac in front of a girl they're both interested in. That's ongoing. And Charlie's a shithole apartment that we kind of see more of this time.
Right.
I wrote like stupid schemes. Like just like, you know, but that's obviously we've already gotten to that trope. But this game was hilariously stupid.
All right. What are the appearances we got, JT?
All right. We got Lionel Keane, the lion. Rebecca Keane, Pop, and the museum curator, which I don't think we got a name for, but
doesn't matter. Disturbed man. Okay, where are we with this episode?
I gave this one a 6.25 grade, 6.25. So that would put it as the third best for me.
I have it at 6.5, which puts it on par with numbers 2 and 3.
Yeah, I have it tied with 2 and 4. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't have it tied. I have it below 2 and 4 and above 3.
I would have gave this a 6.5. Like, I feel like it's not great, but it's also not bad either. And the theme was like not really like how the themes typically I would enjoy them to be on It's Always Sunny, you know, where it's like at least Gun Fever, as bad as that was, you know, compared to everything else.
As bad as it was.
Well, it wasn't the worst, but I mean, compared to all the other episodes, with that one being, you know, slightly worse, like, you know, Gun Fever, we all had the fever. Here they found a dead guy, but the episode was more like, you know what I mean? The dead guy was just the jump off. And right. It felt like kind of like Justin said before, more sitcom-y. Like the gang this week, the gang finds a dead guy and hilarity ensues with Nazis.
So
yeah,
we would have episode 4 is the ahead
best.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. As okay. the best. So is this second best or are we looking at third?
Depends what Josh had for, because the grading for teenage drinking, Aaron, you had a 6.5, I had a 6.
Yeah.
But we had that ranked higher than the second one, Abortion, where we both had a 6.5. So I don't know if, Josh, did you have teenage drinking substantially ahead of Abortion?
I had...
He did, because I don't know if we were talking scores at that point.
Right.
Because I put mine in after.
But I gave that a 7.5, so...
Give me all your... Yeah. Do you have all your grades right there?
Yes, I do.
All right, give them to me.
So that's a 7.5.
Which one was according teenage drinking?
Yeah.
Okay.
I put Charlie Has Cancer at his 6.5. So I had this around the same when I first watched it. I think I let you guys kind of talk it up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then the Abortion, I actually put a 6.5 as well.
Okay.
And then Racist, I put just at a 7, actually.
And what was the last episode you have? The Gun?
That was a 6.
6, okay. All right, we can do some quick math here, Aaron.
Sure. I'm not good at math. I went in the arts. I mean, how should we do it? Should we do it on average or should we do it on total?
I guess total is easy.
All right, let's just all have a gentleman's agreement to not rank anything stupid just to get it up or down.
Yeah, no, we're better than that. Oh, I can do average, whatever you want to do. I don't care. What do you want to do?
I don't care. I don't care. I just want a gentleman's agreement. I've never had a gentleman's agreement for anything.
No?
I'm not really, I don't think.
I don't think I have either.
We could probably take off some of the categories on this spreadsheet too, so to make it make more sense.
This is great radio. Why don't you talk about what's going on with our connection, Aaron, and then we'll go through the grades here.
Lots of stuff going on every day of the week. Mondays, you're with me, the year that was, going through all the WWF pay-per-view years, every single show. That alternates with Montreal to Memphis with me and my buddy Reg talking wrestling. Tuesdays, TNA Never Dies, which is NWA TNA from the very beginning with JT, Jennifer Smith, and myself. That alternates with Jacob Williams, the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast, going through the ruthless aggressive era of the WWE. Thursday, we have JT and Chad going through the wrestling war zone, going through the wrestling Monday Night Wars. I've said wrestling way too many times up to this point. That alternates with another wrestling show, ECW three-way dance, John D'Amato, JT, and Jennifer Smith. We're not just a wrestling network. On Fridays, we got the Gang Gets a Podcast, which you're listening to right now. Every now and again, you'll get Jordan Duncan and company with Rank and File, which is a tournament-based show. And Shrink Rack Comics is also on Fridays with Jennifer Smith, Tim Capel, and Sean Kidd, going through the psychology of superheroes. Saturday's No Holds Barred with JT and I. Sometimes it's also Jeff Learns Wrestling. And finally, Sunday, Second Print Comics, Mark Claire, Remzo Martinez. Awesome stuff every day of the week. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us what you hate. We're always here for you.
All right, so we do have a tie between episodes 3 and 4, Transgender and Teenage Drinking. They both have 20 total points. But the highest grades would be for... I guess Teenage, does the highest grade break the tie? You want to do with that? So that had a 7.5, so that would actually be number one. Or do you want to do like what had the highest floor? You could go that way too. Transgenderism had the highest bottom
grade. Why don't we use the average to break the tie?
I gotta do more math.
Well, you feel like a math guy. Josh. Oh,
why? Why? Because of my ethnicity? Because I'm Italian? I'm good at math?
Is that a thing? Are Italians good at math?
I don't know.
Because we all know you used to wear glasses. That's the dead giveaway.
Fuck. The average is the same, too. It's the dead heat. I think we should go with the floor. And it's not just because I don't like the other one as much. But I think that tells you that the show, like Josh may have rated it a little bit higher, but the other one was more consistently high for all of us. Where I like, you know, the other one had like a low. So to me, that should be a tiebreaker going forward. If it's an exact total sum, then we take whatever had the highest floor. Josh, you good with that?
I am, yes.
Okay.
So as of right now, what is the number one episode?
Episode number 4, transgenderism being the issue dealt with.
That's Charlie Gets Cancer, right?
Yes. Yeah, you should put the title in here, Aaron. Why don't you update that? Episode 3 would be number 2. And that was a virtual tie there. Episode 2 would be number 3. That was the abortion. This one we just did, the elderly, would be number 4. The racism, homophobia, episode 1, the debut, would be our 5th. And then the gun would be our worst one so far, 6th.
Out of the top 5.
It is, yes. And we're out, too. Everyone take care. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you for your support. Subscribe to North South Connection. We love you. Stay sunny. I'm tired of this town again.
Standing in her underwear, looking down from a hotel room. The night ball will be coming soon. Oh my my, oh hell yes, you got to put on that party dress. It was too cold to cry when I woke up alone. I hit my last number, I walked to the road. Last dance with Mary Jane, one more time to kill the pain.
summer.